Maine's Political Pulse is made possible by you and by Lee Auto Malls, featuring the BZ4X, Toyota's first all-electric SUV, now at Lee Toyota in Topsom. More at leeauto.com.
You're listening to Maine's Political Pulse. I'm Robbie Feinberg, joined by Maine Public's chief political correspondent, Steve Missler. 46. That's how many vetoes Governor Janet Mills has issued over her two terms in office, including several vetoes over the past week on issues ranging from farmworker wages to gun policy. And while some Democratic lawmakers were disappointed in those actions, many have also celebrated the passage of other measures on guns, housing, and homelessness. Steve, let's get a full breakdown of what lawmakers did and didn't approve, and let's start with that issue of guns, which was really front and center for so much of this legislative session. Obviously, we're only about 6 months out from the mass shooting in Lewiston. How much did that ultimately impact what gun measures actually made it through?
I think it made a huge difference, Robbie. You know, gun safety measures have not historically fared well in the Maine legislature, which has generally been more permissive in the gun laws that it passes. And the reason for that is that the hunting and culture of gun ownership runs deep in this state. But the Lewiston tragedy has changed that dynamic to the point that lawmakers actually passed a bill that they rejected just last year, a three-day waiting period to purchase firearms that the governor this week allowed to become law without her signature. I think the question going forward is whether this shift is temporary or permanent, and a lot of that will probably be determined by this year's legislative elections.
Yeah, and obviously that waiting period bill that you talked about, that was pretty controversial among a lot of lawmakers. Are we seeing much backlash so far to that measure getting through?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, opponents of the bill have tried to make the case that it prevents people from defending themselves by making them wait 3 days to finalize the purchase of a firearm. And gun rights groups plan to challenge its constitutionality in court. That's exactly what's happened in other states that have passed waiting periods, including most recently Vermont and Colorado. But those cases have yet to be fully resolved, so it's too early to say what will happen with any legal challenge here. In the meantime, gun rights groups are vowing to hold legislators to account for voting for this. What that means is you're going to see ads targeting lawmakers running for re-election this year. There is some discussion about a people's veto, which would give voters a chance to overturn the law, but organizing such a campaign will take a lot of effort and money and in a short period of time. So it seems like a long shot at this point, but you never know.
Yeah, and there were also several measures around guns that didn't make it through the legislature as well. There was that red flag bill that didn't even really get a vote from the House or the Senate. And then Governor Mills, she also vetoed a measure that would have banned so-called bump stocks. What do you think it says that those measures likely aren't going to become law?
Well, I think it shows that this shift in gun politics here in Maine is, while historic in some ways, potentially incremental. I use that word with some reservation because, look, to pass any gun control measure in this state is a big deal. And the governor's bill that's now law expands background checks, and that's pretty significant. And the waiting period bill certainly is too. But you mentioned the failure of the red flag bill and the governor's veto of the bump stock ban, and I think both of those show how influential gun rights groups continue to be here.
Moving on, abortion is also still a real flashpoint issue across the country. We saw that again this year in the legislature. Were lawmakers able to advance much on that issue over the past few months?
Absolutely. Democrats were able to enact an array of new protections for patients and providers, including those that may come here from another state. They also passed last year an expansion of the procedure to later in a pregnancy in some circumstances. Now, Democrats were not able to pass a constitutional amendment that would enshrine abortion protections and make it harder for, say, a Republican governor and legislature to restrict the procedure. But even that failure could be of some use to them this November, and that's because every single Republican voted against it. And that's something that Democrats and abortion rights groups will certainly highlight in legislative contests this year.
Steve, another prominent issue has been tribal sovereignty. This has been a testy issue for years in Maine, and it has really split Democratic leaders. Was much progress made during this latest session around that issue?
You know, I hate to use this word again, Robbie, but yeah, and I think it's incremental progress. I think that's certainly true from the tribe's point of view. You know, initially, there seemed to be a lot of momentum in the tribe's push for full sovereignty, But as you know, Governor Mills was very reluctant to go along with that. So after some initial standoffs with the governor, I think there was a realization that there just isn't enough votes in this legislature to override her on any vetoes. And as a result, the tribes have tried to chip away at this issue and take the wins that they can. This year, that was a bill that gives the tribes more authority to prosecute crimes occurring on their land and also more say over the quality of their drinking water. That's not sovereignty, but it steps in that direction.
So we also alluded earlier to a few of the governor's vetoes, particularly that bump stock ban veto. But there were a few other big votes as well. A farm worker minimum wage bill that was vetoed, and then one that would have changed tax brackets here in Maine. These were some pretty major progressive priorities. What's been the reaction within the Democratic Party to the governor's actions here?
Well, I think the income tax bill you mentioned was a bit of a sleeper and not necessarily a measure that Democrats had highlighted as a priority. And that's probably why it got as far as it did. But the farm worker minimum wage bill was a priority. And legislative Democrats are really upset that the governor vetoed it. It was her bill, after all. And it was considered by Democrats and labor activists as a really bare bones proposal to level the playing field between farm workers and everyone else. Additionally, they really take issue with the governor's rationale, which is that the bill was amended to allow farm workers to sue their employers. That's a right they currently already have. So to go along with the governor's idea, which is to have the state labor department enforce wage violations, would have been a step backwards in their view. And that's partially why you've seen the very public backlash to the veto, which is a little bit different than what we've seen when the governor has vetoed other Democratic bills.
And the legislature is planning to meet next week to take up some of these vetoes. Do we expect anything to potentially get overridden by lawmakers?
Yeah, I think it's unlikely. Most, if not all, of the bills that were vetoed this week were ones that passed along party lines. And Democrats don't have supermajorities, which is what is needed to override a veto. So unless there's some significant defection among Republicans, I think you can expect those vetoes to stand.
And this is also an election year in Maine, and we're now coming off several years of Democratic control across state government. How do you expect this legislative session to potentially affect what we see happen in November?
You know, sometimes there's a tendency to overstate what lawmakers do in Augusta and how that translates to the election. And that's because it assumes that, you know, voters are paying as close attention to this as we are. At the same time, what happens in the legislature can certainly have electoral consequences, especially now that national groups and partisan media are amplifying and often distorting what passed and so forth. And there's been a steady nationalizing of legislative elections and even the bills that get considered. So that can play into the campaigns that we'll see in the fall. So in that sense, I think the abortion and gun issues could certainly be a factor in the fall.
And that was Maine Public's chief political correspondent, Steve Missler. Thanks for joining us for Maine's Political Pulse. You can also read the Political Pulse newsletter. Find that online at mainepublic.org/pulse. Our music is by Rob Holt. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon on Maine's Political Pulse.